Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you take our breath away. We are lost for words when we get in your presence, God. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it because God has great things. He has brought us, oh, my goodness, from this morning up till now. His mercy and grace has kept us. For that, we say thank you. For that, we say glory to your name. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Grace and peace be unto you. My brothers and sisters, we are so glad that you have tuned in tonight. Amen. What an awesome day in the Lord. Amen. We are Stephen and Ann, Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our leaders are Archbishop Ruth Smith, awesome woman of God. I'm telling you, somebody who is truly led by God and walking in the Spirit. We thank God for our lead pastor, the master, the fantastic man of God, Bishop Kevin Jones, amen, who is leading us, amen, in a new area where we are. The light of the world is being transformed, and we're going to be showing really true light, amen, to this dying world, amen, because we are getting ourselves together, amen. I thank God for this word, amen, that's purifying us and I'm telling you, bringing us into another place, a new place in the Lord. So we thank and praise God for him. Thank God for Pastor Sequoia Osler, an awesome man of God, awesome worship leader. Oh, my God, this man is, he is blessed by the Lord. And I'm telling you, that's not an easy thing to do what he does, but he does it, amen, seamlessly. So we thank God for all of Light of the World. We have an awesome church body and Light of the World. I'm telling you, we are blessed. We have some blessed and loving people, and we thank God for every last one of them, amen, for the love that they show for one another. We had some challenges this week, but we have been praying, and God has been moving, amen, and God will continue to do that. So let's continue to pray, amen, for Jerusalem and for the house of faith, amen. I thank God for everything that he has done this week, amen. He brought us through some challenges, but I tell you, God is still God. Hey, nothing changed God because he's not surprised by anything that happens to us. And we thank God, amen, for just an opportunity to, amen, to express God's love to God's people. And we are at Light of the World. If you're not at Light of the World, you're out of town or you're visiting or whatever, if you can stop by, amen, we are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. We have services every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., we have an awesome worship team that brings us in the presence of God. Amen. And the word of God really takes us on higher. Amen. And then we have at 9:30, we have Sunday school. And then at 10:45, we have another worship service. Amen. You don't want to miss it. If you have an opportunity, if you're out of town, we want you to go online and just live stream. Go to www.comeintothelight.org and live stream this service. I'm telling you, you will be blessed. Amen. So we thank and praise God, amen, for everything that he's doing in the light of the world. We also have noonday Bible study on Wednesdays, and we have 7 p.m. Bible study on Wednesdays also. So we thank God for everything, and amen, tonight we get yourself together. We have a powerful young man who is going to bring you the word of God. Get your pencil, get your paper, get your mind ready, amen, to receive what God has for you. This is an awesome young man. I love his testimony. He really loves the Lord. He's tender by the Spirit of God, and I thank God for what God is doing in his life and with him. Amen. And you're going to hear, amen, the virtue of God coming from him tonight. He's none other than Minister Joseph A. Jones, and we thank God for his wife, Emily Jones. Amen. And we thank God for that partnership that we have with them, amen, being amen, our fourth Saturday night. Amen. They are our speakers, and we thank and praise God for him. We're going to ask him to press one on his phone so we can bring him live. And when we bring him live, we want him to introduce himself, introduce his wife, and then let the Lord do what he wants to do with us tonight. But get yourself ready because this is a powerful man of God. Amen. Minister Jones, you are now live on the air.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Pastor Butterfield and Pastor Ann Butterfield, how are you doing this evening?
Great, great. How are you?
We're doing fine. We're doing fine. I'd like to introduce myself again. My name is Minister Joseph Jones and my wife, Emily Jones. We are just glad to be in the midst of the people of God and allowing God to use us on this air and the opportunity to speak a word to the people who may have time to sit and listen. Before we get started, we have a treat tonight. We'll allow my wife to sing a song before we start, if that's okay with you all.
Awesome. That's great.
Awesome. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Just a few little bars. It's in your hands, my life and every plan. It's in your hands, my will I yield to your command, for I know that you know best, even when I don't understand. So I learn to trust you and leave it in your hands. It's in your hands, my life and every plan. It's in your hands, my will I yield to your command.
And hallelujah.
For I know that you know best, even when I don't understand. So I've learned to trust you and leave it in your hands. So I've learned to trust you and leave it in your hands.
Amen, amen, amen. That's so appropriate.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Songs like that make you want to preach.
Hallelujah, I'm telling you. You got to put
that in. That song is so appropriate for what we're about to speak on tonight because it's in God's hands. And so we want to direct your attention to 2 Samuel, 11th chapter, verses 1 through 5 and 14 to 15. I'll be reading under the King James Version in those scriptures. 2 Samuel, 11th chapter, verses 1 through 5 and 14 and 15. And just remember that song, and then we'll tie it to the title of this message. The King Version says, and it came to pass at the year where was expired, at the time where kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent a messenger and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, as she returned to her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Verse 14 and 15. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship. Lord, we thank you for this time over the airways to present your word. And Lord, we thank you for the Butterfields, Lord, Pastor Ann and Pastor Stephen Butterfield, Lord, for using them and setting them forth to go forth in this broadcast, Lord, and allow people to come on and use their talents. And Lord, we thank you for them, Lord. Give them a special blessing, Lord, from heaven, Lord. We ask you to continue to keep them and, Father, watch over them. And, Father, we ask you to bless every listener tonight, Lord, that the word will go forth and you will use me to speak what you're giving to me, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Father, use me as a yielding vessel, Lord, that I might say what was given to me, Lord, and that you will get the honor and the glory. Father, we thank you for all things done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to
use
for a subject tonight, tying in with that song, whatever you want and whatever you need, God got it. There's nothing too short that God cannot provide. There's nothing that you could want that God cannot give you. But it's all in perspective. It's all in the way God would have it to be. And if it's in God's hand, then he already knows what you need. So for the last few weeks, our lead pastor has been teaching and preaching on the dangers of distraction. And there are so many distractions in the world the enemy uses, like money. And we know the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the key word there, the word love. And so the money can be useful, but when you love the money more than you love God, that's a distraction. Sex. Every time you turn around, there's stuff on TV and another distraction. All you see is violence and sex and money and all these things to distract us. And people are believing all these things on the TV that they think that is really reality. And these reality shows that God has allowed us to know that we see them, but they're not real, and those things are just to get you off track. And sometimes our family can be a distraction. We are so busy running to baseball practice and gym practice and choir practice and all the other things. And so we're so focused on taking care of our families, we forget about taking care of the one who takes care of us. And even church activities can give us a distraction because we are so busy trying to do things in a fashion that pleases ourselves but doesn't please God. So a lot of these things can be a distraction. But as a distraction, we know that the enemy uses to try to keep us from reaching our destiny and from fulfilling our purpose in Christ. See, the main purpose of the enemy is to discredit God and discredit God's word. If the devil could accomplish that, his battle would be won. But because God is incapable of being evil or lying, we all have his word. And that's all we got, God and God's word. See, the Bible makes it plain. God's word says in Romans 3 and 4, God forbid ye, let God be true, and let every man be a liar. And Romans and Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? See, that tells me, these scriptures tells me that God is a man that he should not lie, as the scriptures say it. But this tells me that the scripture backs up God's word. So I can also truly say that whatever I want and whatever I need, God got it. And so from the beginning of time, man has been getting in trouble behind trying to please the woman instead of trying to please God. And we know the story how Adam didn't obey God, but yielded to his wife's request, and man has been fallen ever since. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with fulfilling your spouse's desires, but when it comes to what God says versus what the woman wants, I'm going with God. Now, I might have to cook my own dinner sometime and breakfast, or I might have to wash my own clothes, but I'd rather her to be mad at me than the angry of the Lord. And so we allow the smallest distractions to get us off course, and then we want to blame the devil for everything. I remember a lady said in church one time, she said, we give the devil too much credit, and most of the time is our own doing. So devil does all he does is give us a suggestion. And what it is a thought that we've been thinking all along. And then he shows us that very thing. See, I just want to teach you for a second or two, because I want you to realize the reason why the enemy knows what we are thinking is because we verbalize everything that we like and dislike. This is called speaking into the atmosphere, all our wants and needs. So it's easy for the devil to send us a distraction because we had already spoke those things that we like and dislike. And we wonder why we get a setback over a period of time over a power of suggestion. Can I give you an example right quick? Look at Abraham after he listened to his wife about having a child with her handmaid. You see how that turned out, and the situation quickly turned to a hot mess. Please understand that I am not blaming just the woman. I'm also pointing the finger at the man because he could have stopped a lot of this mischief before it happened. See, again, there's nothing wrong with trying to please our mate, and it's not just the man pleasing the woman, it's vice versa, the woman trying to please her husband. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about three distractions David had to deal with in this text. And so you will find that in 1 John 2 and 16. And that reads out of the King James Version. It says, for all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So let's go to the scriptures, because we're going to use those three points in this text, what David had to go through because of what he saw, what he felt, and then what he did. And so now here we are in verse 1. It tells us that at a certain time of the year, the kings will go to battle, and David sent Joab and the servants of all Israel off to war. But guess what? David stayed in Jerusalem. Why? I don't know. But as we read the scriptures, we see that David was not where he should have been, which was probably on the battlefield with his soldiers. So surely David should have been with his soldiers during this time of war. So I ask you, what kind of leader would stay behind while his men go to battle? Just to give you something to think about. But really, this is a case of in the wrong place at the wrong time. So then we see David in verse 2, where David gets up from taking a nap and decides to take a stroll on the roof of the king's palace. And from there, he sees a beautiful woman washing herself. Now, I could imagine if David was born back in the 70s, in the 60s, when he saw how beautiful Bathsheba was, I know he probably was singing to himself, she's a bad mama jamma, or she's a brick house. And so that brings me to my first distraction, which is the lust of the eyes, the eye gate, the lust of the eyes. Simply put, the lust of the eyes is the desire to possess what we see or to have those things which we have visual appeal. This coveting of money, as I mentioned earlier, and possessions or physical things is not from God, but from the world around us. See, the world will paint a big picture and put things on TV for you just to believe that this is all you need to have. They sell this stuff. It's called advertisement and marketing. And so that we get to the point that all that we see is all that we want. See, the writer here, John, emphasizes that the physical things do not last forever as they pass away. But Satan uses this lust of the eyes as one avenue of temptation. Can I prove it to you? Just as Eve was listening to the serpent in the garden and was mentioned about the forbidden fruit. And the Bible says in Genesis 3 and 6, say it was pleasing to the eyes.
Yes.
So all Satan did was use a visual visual image to help entrap her. And he does the same thing to us. See, he even tried to similar tactic on Jesus. See, one of the temptations in the wilderness was to attempt to make Jesus covenant earthly power, the lust of the eyes again. Satan used a visual, and he said in Matthew 4:8, he said, show him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And then he turned around and made a lie out of himself even worse, and he promised to give them all to Jesus for a price. Now, you know, how in the world you going to give the man his land if the man already owned the land? That don't make any sense to me. So that's why we know that Jesus didn't fall for the okey-doke because of the lust of the eyes, and we know Satan was defeated in the same chapter in verses 10 and 11 of Matthew, the fourth chapter. See, naturally, we fall for these tricks every day. And every time we see somebody we lust, every time we see somebody we like, we get the lusting, or we get the seeing the lust from the eyes and not allow God to set forth what is supposed to be done in a righteous way. See, our eyes tell us we just got to have that person. We got to have him. We got to have her. See, you know, we get this picture from TV, and so we think that a man's supposed to be a certain stature, or a woman's supposed to be a certain stature, that we got to have it. And so they sell us this prototype over the airways and our eardrums, and so we see these things on TV. Oh, he got to be 6'2 and 6'4 and 240, and, you know, his abs got to be ripped like a washboard. And see, all these things that the enemy sells us because of the lust of the eyes, it's something that's pleasing to us. And, again, there's nothing wrong to like what you like, but it all has to be in perspective. So, again, our eyes just tells us what we want. How many times, think about this, y'all, how many times you have watched TV late at night and you had already had dinner and maybe dessert, and around 12 o'clock you see a commercial about food, and then the first thing you think, I am hungry. See, the power of suggestion makes you get up and go to the refrigerator to eat just because you saw something that looked good to your eyes on TV. So what I'm saying is tonight that a lot of times we see things that we think that look good to us, and again, from our eye gate, and we got to have her, and we got to have him. But I'm here to tell you tonight, unless it's God sent, he or she is not the one for you unless God says so. And Proverbs 18:22 says that, it makes that so plain. He says, so whosoever find a wife find a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. So that tells me a man should be looking for his wife and not the other way around. The reason I'm saying this is because that's what the eyes, the lust of the eyes, gets us in trouble. We make the thing backwards. See, just a side note, fellas, we know that we like a certain type of woman, and the enemy will send us that type of woman. But the first thing we have to realize, is she saved? Is she sent by God? Is this the one that is supposed to be with you to go forth in your destiny God has planned for you to walk in? See, amen. Just a side note, we do the same thing on both sides. Ladies, we need to stop chasing men and being so desperate. Oh, I just got to get married. I gotta fall in love. I got to have a baby before I'm turned 30. Oh, my clock is ticking. You know, all those things. See, the enemy will put all these distractions in your life and have you in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. And see, and then let me just say this and I'll move on. Ladies, I just want to say this to you all. Now, to listen, stop playing games with these men. If they ain't for you, let them go. And then stop playing hard to get, because the old saying is, those who play hard to get sometimes don't get picked. And you just take that as a little hint for the helpful hint for the wives. Because men, we the same way. You know, we allow the women to get us off track because what we see. And so therefore, God is not pleased because we're not lining up with the word of God. And this is what happened to David. And so David, look at verse 3. So David, what David going to do, David inquires about the woman. And it was told to him, it says in the verses, isn't this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah? Now, David already knew by him getting the message that this woman was already married.
Already married.
And knew the man's wife and knew the woman. But look at verse 4. And I'm going to read verse 4 because this is what it says. It says, and there, and David knew, again, who she was. But he sent for her. And it says, verse 4 says, David sent the messenger and took her. And she came in unto David, and he lay with her. Now, David basically did not care because by now he saw an itch that he had to scratch. And so this gets David in trouble, which brings me to distraction number 2, the lust of the flesh. See, verse 4 lets you know that David didn't care if she was married or not, knew she was married or not. I mean, knew that she was married and who she was married to. But see, the lust of the flesh is that craving for sexual gratification, is the temptation to make you feel or have a pleasure, a physical pleasure from sinful activities, something to make the flesh feel satisfied or to bring pleasure to the body. But see, I want you to understand something about the lust of the flesh. It's not always about pertaining to sex. See, there are some other things that which the lust of the flesh will allow you to do, like gossip. Oh, I know some people say it makes me feel so good when I talk about other folks. That's the lust of the flesh. Physical violence, putting your hands people make you so mad you want to put your hands on them. And we ain't talking about praying for them either. We talking about putting your hands on them for the wrong reason. And then the lust of the flesh is drugs, marijuana. We want to smoke and get so high. And they back in the day get so zooted up, we don't even know what day of the week is. And popping pills and cocaine and alcohol, get drunk as a skunk, and we can't even walk straight. And then the last one, I just want to use for example, cussing folks out. Oh, that's the lust of the flesh because it makes us feel so good when we let somebody have it. I mean, we just blast them from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. See, people think just because the lust of the flesh is just dealing with sex. No, I just gave you 4 more that those things make people feel good because it's a physical pleasure. And so therefore, Paul writes in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 to 21, he gives us a whole list of things that's considered the works of the flesh. And look at all the things he named in those scriptures that people do to make themselves feel good. So if David needed a wife, all he had to do was ask God for it. Matthew 6:33 says it's simple. If he'd have read his Bible and left the scene, he would have known that Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then he would have read John 14:14. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do. So, again, I say, whatever you want and whatever you need, God got it. Again, my wife just says it's in his hands. He knows what's best for us. But again, David saw upon himself that he needed to take care of this thing for himself. And then as we go to verse 5, now here comes the situation. Bathsheba is pregnant with David's child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what's worse, what he did in verse 4 or what he's going to do in verse 14 and 15. And so in verse 14 and 15, the Bible says that, look at what it says. And it came to pass in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it to by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die.
Mm-mm.
Basically, what happened was David wrote a conspiracy letter to Joab, telling Joab to put Uriah on the front line of the hottest battle, that he may get killed. Can somebody say murder hero? Because that's what exactly what he did. David conspired against Uriah. So this brings me to distraction number three, the pride of life. See, the pride of life wants you to appear to be important to make you think you are above the law. The pride of life can be defined as anything that it is of the world, meaning anything that leads you to arrogance or pride in oneself and boasting. See, again, we think pride of life could be just certain things, but again, I'm going to give you four more what a pride of life will have you to do. See, the pride of life will have you desire to get credit or get glory for the things that other people did or even what God did.
Mm-hmm.
And then desire for others to worship you or hold you highly esteem so you can make a name for yourself. And then it desires you to see a value more important than others. The pride of life will have you desire to have a position of power over others in a way that puffs up your own ego. In other words, you want to have stuff or have bragging rights for the things you've done. And so we see here that David went through this thing of these three distractions. See, look at this. This is the same thing that got Satan thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be like God. If you don't take my word for it, read Isaiah the 14th chapter, verses 12 to 15. It's the statement says that when we try to exalt ourselves above God and others, we walk it in pride. And that's the same thing that devil did or Satan did that got him thrown out of heaven because he just wanted to be God. And so God is not going to have that. It says that I'm only one God and there's no other than me. He said, I am the great I am. But look what it says, though. He said, this is what Satan said. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I would ascend into heaven. I would exalt my throne above the stars of God. Listen to what Satan's saying now. I would sit among upon the mountains of the congregation in the sides of the north. I would ascend above the heights of the clouds. I would be like the Most High. That's what he's saying. This is pride, y'all. And then the last verse, he said, and yet shall be brought down to hell to the size of the pit. So this is what Isaiah was telling him, saying he wants to be God. The pride of life got him thrown out of heaven. So you had first-class seats. You had the inside to right beside God. But that wasn't enough because of the pride of life got your head swole and you think you're supposed to be the man. And so that's what I'm saying. This is the same thing that got him thrown out. And so Proverbs 16:18 tells us, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But I like the Message Bible version when it says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. And so therefore, they let people know that when you walk in pride, there's no good thing that comes from it. There are so many people today that are in jail and have died because of pride. How many times have we have went to, back in the day when we was going out and hanging out and we went to a club and so, and I don't know why this is always happening. Somebody steps on somebody's foot or we at a movie and somebody steps on somebody's foot and the person don't have enough manners to say, I'm sorry, or excuse me. And then the person who gets assaulted or being stepped on gets prideful and say, you're not going to apologize. And then here we go. So now we're at each other, and then Satan is sitting back laughing because he uses the pride of life to catch us off guard and give us a distraction. How many people are in jail today right now because they said, I ain't going to be no punk? Well, you might be a punk in jail now because you could have just walked away. And you could have just said, you know what, it ain't worth it, because we want to show people that we're a man. Or I'm a woman just like you're a woman. You ain't going to talk to me that kind of way. You ain't. See, the problem is the enemy knows just what to do to push our buttons, because as I said earlier, we verbalize it in the air. So therefore, Satan uses those things to get us off track. See, the three things got David in trouble with the Lord one after another. Look at what he did. Look at 2 Samuel 26 and 27. Not only that he did these things, he didn't really think about what he was doing. In verse 26 and 27, this is what he said in chapter 11. He said, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah's husband was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bared a son. But the thing that David did, watch this, and the thing that David done displeased the Lord. So look at these things now. First, David lusted in his heart from his eye gate. Then he covered another man's wife, which is the lust of the flesh. And then finally commits a conspiracy of murder. And then has the man got killed by putting him on the front line, which is the pride of life. See, David thought he was untouchable. He thought that he could do this and get away with it. And because of the fact that David was tempted and saw what he saw, again, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, got David in trouble. See, if David would have stepped back and remembered the scripture in James 1, 14 and 15 that says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that's what David did. And then when the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Now, David didn't die. Understand that. Because of what he did. But because the child that he birthed through Bathsheba passed away. So now David had to deal with this situation because of all he has done. See, these are the tricks of the enemy. And I just wanted to inform you tonight that the devil literally sees our future and knows the greatness God has created us to be. So therefore, the enemy tries his best to trip us up, get us off track, and distract us in our focus to destroy our lives before we have a chance to give our lives to Christ. In other words, Satan knows he's on his last leg, and he is mad because his time is running out. So when people realize they need Jesus and they repent for their sins, that's one less person Satan has, and then that's a gain for God. So I just want to close in my closing, and as I close, there is good news. In spite of all that David did, God said that David was a man after his own heart. If you don't remember anything tonight, please remember this. God did not see David as a man as we would have seen him. See, people would have said David deserved any and everything he had got coming to him. But God saw David through his son Jesus Christ, who knew the purpose and plans for David's life. And even David did not, though he did what he did, God still used him for his glory. So never think that you are so bad or that you are not worthy of anything and God cannot use you. But because God's mercy and his grace and his love for us, he never gives up on us. As long as we have breath in our body, God is still waiting for you. As a Christian, we are not going to allow distraction to pull us away from the Lord. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes is not going to be the things that get us, because we know that God has everything that we need. And so whatever we need and whatever we want, God got it. I hope you got something out of this tonight, because David was a truly great man of God, and he stepped out of his rightful place and yield to those three things and got him in trouble. But God loves us so much, he has everything in his hand. And again, whatever you need and whatever you want, God got it. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That put me in mind of the song we used to sing in the Holy Church. What you need, God got it. What you need, God got it. Whatever you need, God got it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What an awesome word. Man, it is so relevant, because this day and time, there's so much stuff. I mean, that's everywhere you go, wherever you look, wherever you, I mean, women, they don't dress like they used to. I mean, and if you don't be careful, you don't protect your eye gate, your ear gate. I mean, you can get turned around, and you got to know yourself. You got to know what's in you, because you can only be tempted of stuff that's in you. You can't blame nobody else.
That's
if
right.
David didn't have lust in him, he would have never been tempted by Bathsheba. And another thing I looked at this, Minister Jones, my mama always say, idle mind is the devil workshop.
Oh, yeah.
David should have been in battle. He should not have been home just hanging out. But you sit around being idle, the devil going to give you something to do.
that's right.
He's never going to be unemployed, and he don't want you to be employed. He's going to put you to work. He's going to let you work in your flesh, because that's where he can control you. And so we see this story tonight talking about how David was. I mean, and if we take a mind, David was an awesome man of God. And so it happened to him. So we're not exempt. If we don't be careful, we just have a lesson, so we don't have to walk in that same trap. We can go by this lesson and say, listen, I got to know myself. I got to know what my weaknesses are, what I'm prone to, what my proclivity is, what stuff gets me. And so when I get to certain circumstances and certain atmosphere, you're going to know that, hey, something ain't right now. I need to leave. I need to just leave this situation right now. I mean, it don't have to be lust. It can be, an argument. It can be some stuff that really going to go crazy if you don't leave. So when somebody starts saying some stuff to you, somebody starts talking bad to you, you got to know, listen, I'm not going to respond to this, because this is a distraction. I'm thinking about my own self. That's pride right there. So I can't allow pride to what somebody say to me move me into being something else that I don't want to be. And so we got to be careful in this day and time where somebody will come to you and they start talking all kind of craziness, and or they getting on Facebook and putting all kind of crazy stuff out there. If you don't be careful, and
that's
you can
right.
be drawn into a situation, and before you know it, man, it get out of hand. You see people at ball games, and they just, one rooting for the other team, one rooting for this team, and that something happened on the field, and they ain't even on the field. They in the stand, and they getting all upset about what somebody said about their player and all this stuff. Before you know it, a gun comes out. Somebody
right.
shot. Some kids get killed or get wounded. They're all because of the lust of pride. That we don't want anybody to show us up. So hey, I'm gonna put my gun on them and show them who I am. I got power. I got this.
That's
but
right.
like you said, Jesus didn't do that. When Satan said, "If you bow yourself down, I'll give you all of this," Jesus said, "Don't tempt the Lord thy God." He did not bow down to that. So we got to be very, very careful in this day and time, because the devil is out to destroy the people of God. He wants us to look bad, so nobody else can come to church. He want us to look bad.
That's
so
right.
The people who need God would say, well, ain't nothing to God. The devil want us to be caught up in stuff. And so we got to look, not for the stuff that we want, but if we love God, we have to say that I can't afford to let nobody be blocked from coming to God and being in the kingdom. Because if they don't, they're going to die and go to a dying hell. And so everything
yes.
I do, I have to consider what I do. Everything I do, I got to consider what I do, because it's gonna hurt the kingdom or it's going to benefit the kingdom. And so we got to
That's
be
right.
very careful and know what's in us. One of the many things that I've learned from the late Archbishop Jimmy Lee Smith was he always tell us that every man ought to know his own limitation.
That's right.
I'm telling you, that has carried me ever since he told me. Every man ought to know his own limitation. If you know that you can't stand looking at some women with a bikini on, you better not be looking at it. If you know that
That's
somebody
right.
starts
talking, That's right.
somebody starts talking to you, talking about your mama and talking about your wife or whatever, that you're gonna get heated. You need to leave, dismiss yourself out of that situation. You got to know
right.
your limits. Know what you can take. Know what you can't take. Because if you don't, the devil gonna push your button. And if
yes.
you don't be careful, before you know it, you'll be wide open into some stuff that you like. Oh my God, how did I get here? I'm sure David was all caught up in this stuff. He didn't even know how. He didn't even realize. I mean, all this stuff he got into. I mean, the lust overtook him that his mind now don't even see reality. He doesn't even see that
right.
the lady is married. He don't even care about that. Because
no.
lust took over his whole. I mean, everything about him, lust just ate him up. It's like the body snatchers back in the day.
Right.
Lust grab a hold of him. He couldn't see nothing else. And so before he knew it, this thing is done. And he going on like nothing happened. But God so loved him, sent a prophet to him.
Yes.
And God is so good. I mean, he loves us in spite of our craziness, what we get ourselves into. But out today, we don't have to get into it. Because we can look at what David did and say, hey, okay, I better watch my step. I better watch what I'm looking at. I better watch what I'm talking about. I'm watching who's
yeah.
in the presence. I got to watch myself. We got to be alert. And the only way to avoid distraction is to be alert and be aware of distraction. Because a lot of times we get into stuff,
yes.
we don't even realize what happened. So we got
right.
to be aware.
That's why the gyms are filled now.
Say it again.
I said that's why the jails are filled today, partially,
uh-huh.
because of that same thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we got to be very, very careful. So I thank God for this word, man. I'm telling you, it's awesome. And we really need to get into it and get focused. And those of you who are not at Light of the World, please log into our website, come into thelight.org. And go to live stream and get these messages. I'm telling you, it would change your life, change your trajectory on what God is doing in your life. And I'm telling you, I thank God for all of what he's doing, amen, and light of the world and all over the world, because he's the same God everywhere. And so I thank
yeah.
God for that word, man. We don't know if anybody has a comment or question. You can press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you live. Amen. You got me so stirred up, I wanted to re-preach your message. Want to comment tonight, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you live tonight, because I'm telling you, this is a word of God, amen, tonight. Press 1 on your phone, we'll bring you live, amen. But man of God, I tell you, this is an awesome word, and I want you to give a last word that you want to, last comment you want to leave, and then close us out in prayer.
Yes, sir. You know, I think I shared a testimony with you one time before. You know, when I first got saved, I kept asking God, you know, Lord, why you allow me to witness the women, you know? And God knew that I wasn't ready for it. And I think
uh-huh.
I told you all that I was out of work one day and got off the elevator, and this fine woman, Bathsheba, was walking towards me, and she asked me some directions. And Pastor Butterfield, I was so scared. I said, I don't know where it's at. I don't know where the place is at. And ran out the door. And it scared me so bad because the enemy knew that how I used to be. Any other time, I've been trying to hit on them. But I was
uh-huh.
so scared because I was saved that I didn't want to yield to that temptation. I ran to my car. And when I got in the car, I had to laugh at myself. And you know what God said to me then? He said to me, I thought you said you was ready.
Uh-huh.
And so he let us know, again, whatever you need and whatever you want, God got it. But he can't give it to you because sometimes we'll misuse it. And so at that time, I don't know how long I was been saved, but it was not ready for me to witness the females because he had to get the females out of me.
Uh-huh.
And so God knew this. So what he did for me was he sent me the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I said the test. I didn't say a test. He sent me a testimony. So I can be able to say, you know what? God, you right. You know all.
I ain't ready.
And I know I don't know enough. And so, therefore, you let me know I wasn't ready. But I'm telling you, if y'all would saw that thing and y'all would have put that thing on America's Most Funny Videos, because when I hit that door, you thought I had fire on my pants. And so, again, because I didn't want to displease God. And I didn't want to get in that trap. So that's why
that's
I ran.
That's right.
So, again, for those out there tonight, like you said, know your limitations. Know where God placed you at and know what God has given you to do. And don't go beyond that. And if you ain't sure, say, Lord, listen, I ain't sure. I don't know if I can handle this or not. You're going to have to show me. And if this is not for me, you bring me out of it. Because we got to know, understand that Corinthians tells us in 10:13, says he give us a way of escape. And
that's
so
right.
God is not going to put you in a situation that he know you can't handle.
That's
so
right.
I thank God. I thank God because he's delivered me from that. And Pastor Butterfield, that's why I sit up front all the time, because I don't have to worry about them distractions. Because
that's right.
My eyes is on the Lord, and I'm into the word, so that stuff don't bother me no more.
Amen.
But again, we have to get to the point where the Lord can trust us with any and everything, and that we can do just what he says we can do. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, my wife want to comment, and then we'll use a word of prayer, and then we'll close out.
Amen. Amen.
And we also have to be careful as Christians that we don't let ourselves become get into being a haughty spirit and think we're more than what we are. And, you know, when there's somebody who is unsaved or either newly saved but still kind of straddling the fence a bit, you know, because we all know that just because we get saved don't mean we automatically living right that day that we get saved. And sometimes us that are, you know, a little bit more seasoned or whatever, we, you know, become judgmental of others who are trying to get in the will of God. So we got to make sure we don't have a haughty spirit about, you know, others like that, and make sure we're being an example, a good example to them of what holiness looks like.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Awesome. That's right.
Yes. So you ready to close out, Pastor Butterfield?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So we thank God for everybody who's listening tonight. So let's go into prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you tonight, Lord, just saying thank you, Father God, for being who you are to us. Father, we know that you already know what's best for our lives because you created us. You have planned us, our lives out before time has existed. And Father, we thank you, oh God, for allowing us to know you, and then we all know our limitations through you. Lord, we ask you to bless those who are listening tonight, and that you will give them a special blessing, Lord, and give them an understanding of your word, and that they will take this word and hide it in their heart, that they will not sin against you. Father, again, we thank you for all those who are listening. Again, we thank you for our brother and sister Butterfield. We thank you for all those who are listening tonight. Lord, we ask you to keep us and bless us as we lay down tonight. Lord, get sweet rest and wake up in the morning to give you praise and honor to go and worship and praise you in the sanctuary. Father, we thank you right now, and we give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight from Florida to Virginia to Alabama to New York. We thank God for all of you, amen, in Atlanta. All of you who have tuned in tonight, we can't do this without you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your support. We appreciate you so much.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. And on next week, 8 p.m. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.
Have a great night.